Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, as we watch the continued displacement of millions from Iraq and Syria, with hundreds of thousands entering Europe, one may ask that, had the 9/11 attacks of 2001 not taken place, would we be witnessing what many say is the biggest refugee problem since World War II? Had the 9/11 attacks not taken place, would we be witnessing such a violent group like Daesh, which is committing horrific crimes in the region, though 3,000 were killed in the attacks in the U.S. on September 11th. Millions now have been affected by U.S. wars since then. Have the masterminds of these attacks really been found, or are they still on the loose? And who will pay for all the death and destruction that has taken place since then, and when? I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Jackson, Mississippi, Dr. Alan Sobrowski, U.S. Marine Corps veteran. And also out of Washington, D.C., Brent Budowski, columnist from The Hill. Welcome, both of you, to the program. We're going to start this off in Washington, D.C., and Brent Budowski. Well, sir, let me just run down just some points of the official version of the 9/11 story, that 19 Arab, mostly Saudi hijackers, took over these three planes, Boeing 757, Boeing 767, and piloted these planes with difficult maneuvering, though they were said by their pilot instructors that have been mediocre to average pilots, that NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, that's supposed to protect the skies over the U.S., stood down on 9/11, that the Twin Towers, 110 floors, took less than 15 seconds to fall, as if they had been imploded, and that the attacks were planned by Osama bin Laden from a cave in Afghanistan, that the passports of some of the hijackers and even a Saudi driver's license were found intact in the rubble, though steel melted. And then, of course, there's Building 7 that was not hit by a plane, but all 47 floors mysteriously collapsed on the same day. Your take, sir, do you believe the official version of what they say took place on September 11th?
Well, I think most of the official version is true. Not necessarily all of it, but most of it. I think the idea that bin Laden originated and originally masterminded it is true. I don't know that he necessarily planned it hour by hour from a cave. That's not really what the version is. There were other people he delegated it to. I think there probably has long been various governments or people associated with governments in the Middle East who gave support that may not be completely public to al-Qaeda, and some still do to some groups down there. Not necessarily official governments, but people associated. But fundamentally, I think, yes, the basic version of what happened, to the degree it can be known, is true.
Okay.
I don't have any particular dispute with that. I do believe there may well have been some stock trades. I looked into that myself at one point from public information. And I suspect that probably did happen. And I suspect there are probably a lot of things we don't know.
Okay.
But I don't think that what actually did happen is dramatically different from what they said. And I would add, right now, as we sit here today on the 14th anniversary, I think we all collectively need to do much more to defeat, destroy, and kill the ISIL terrorists. And I think we all need to be, as the Pope has said, and I agree with him, far more generous and helping all of those refugees and immigrants coming out. It's an epic human tragedy. There needs to be more done by Eastern Europe, the European community, and the United States, I would add, should do far more than anyone is currently planning on doing, and that's an urgent moral crisis we all need to address immediately.
All right. Stay with me, Mr. Budowski. Dr. Sobrowski, your take. Do you believe the official version that has been given to what happened in 9/11?
For me, to accept the official U.S. government position requires one to believe a number of things that are individually dubious and collectively preposterous. It requires you to believe that pilots who are going to be part of the hijack would spend a year dancing around flight schools making public spectacles of themselves, when if they were going to do it, there are at least 30 countries in the world where they could have trained on type aircraft with the full support of the governments. It requires you to believe that a person who cannot even successfully fly a single-engine propeller-driven Cessna could get behind the controls of a 757 Boeing, put it in an 8,000-foot descending spiral, skim the ground, and hit the Pentagon, just coincidentally hitting the only part of it that was largely populated only by a group of accountants who are trying to find where $2.3 trillion in missing Pentagon money has gone. It requires you to believe that an Arlington, Virginia police lieutenant, who a first responder at the Pentagon, said on live TV that he did not understand what happened. He was told an airplane had hit the Pentagon, and he did not see any airplane parts anywhere. It requires you to believe that a buildings in this case, the Twin Towers, designed to take the impact of multiple 707s, which were the largest airplane of the day, without collapsing, would take a single impact of a single plane and go down. It requires you to believe that WTC-7, which was not hit by a plane, which was hit by debris and had small fires, somehow had all of its pillars lose structural integrity simultaneously so that it collapsed into its own footprint in 7 seconds. Those are just a few of things that it requires you to believe, and I cannot believe any of them.
Okay, well, what about that, Mr. Podolsky, the points that Dr. Zabrowski have just made? Are you suspicious at all? Are you curious at all when we look at the Twin Towers and the rate at which, basically, people are saying the rate free fall? Are you suspicious at all that something else perhaps took place, that steel has never melted in this type of situation? That the plane that hit at the top, all of a sudden, they're saying it was a pancake effect, and the buildings just collapsed. Had any of this caused any doubt in your mind at all?
Well, I'm always suspicious of everything in a situation like this. I'm always on the lookout about everything in this kind of a thing. But you know, what we just heard from the fellow that was speaking earlier is a lot of generalized suspicions. I'd like to hear what he or anyone else thinks actually happened, because believe me, I've read all the conspiracy theories, and I haven't heard anything or read anything that is even remotely as credible as the report that they put out. I'm sure they didn't get everything right in the report. That's the way it works. Now, one thing I do want to answer, because I was here when it happened. I was sitting on my phone in my office a few blocks from the State Department, and I personally heard the plane that crashed into the Pentagon go over me. I didn't know it at the time, and I heard the plane crash into the Pentagon, and I was on a conference call at the time with the TV on, and I said to the people I was on with, something big just happened. I just heard something happen. I didn't know what it was at that point, and minutes later, it was on TV right in front of me. So I don't want to hear that the plane didn't crash into the Pentagon. That's baloney. I was there. I heard it. It flew right over my head. And I can guarantee that much because I was there in real time. But to answer your question, I'm always open to theories and investigations and information. I just haven't seen anything that is credible and believable that poses an alternate theory or directly refutes the pending theory.
Okay.
What I do think we need to do, and I'll repeat it because this is the most important thing, is we need to kill ISIS and we need to be humane to the refugees now. That is fundamental and happening in real time, and I'd rather all of our countries focus on that. And if anyone has a credible theory, present evidence, I'll look at it.
Dr. Zabrowski, your perspective, you've brought up a lot of different situation or scenarios on 9/11. That make you suspect of the reality on the ground. What do you think happened on 9/11? Who was behind it in your perspective?
I don't think there's really any doubt. The first thing that comes to mind when one looks at any type of a crime, whether it's a civil crime or an international crime, is to ask who benefits. Who is going to benefit from something? And the only country that has benefited from this is Israel. There's absolutely not a single doubt. The shattering of all of the countries around it has been absolutely in its strategic interest. The people who orchestrated this And I have written about this and a very detailed piece called Demystifying 9/11. And I think it's very clear that if you want to take one group of people who had a very clear interest in orchestrating this within the US government, you can look at their origins to something called PNAC, the Project for a New American Century, which really should have been called the Project for a New Israeli Century, since the first work they did was for Benjamin Netanyahu during his initial term as prime minister.
How has Israel benefited, Dr. Zebrowski, tell me, in your perspective, how has Israel benefited then from these attacks?
In two specific ways. Because of our presence, we have done great damage to most of its adversaries in the region. And on a second line, because it's a very odd thing that it's probably the only country that thrives on chaos on its borders, because that means there can be no coalition against it. Policy is always people. Policy is always people. And when you look at the people who are in positions to have affected many of these things, they weren't Arabs, and they certainly weren't tied to Saudi Arabia. No one, even on the US government, who has been arguing their case, has ever been able to explain why NORAD or a large number of other fighter aircraft available on the East Coast let these planes fly around in many cases for the better part of an hour with doing nothing, when a single plane going off course ought to immediately produce a fighter response.
Okay, stay with me, Dr. Zebrowski. I want to get Mr. Badowski back in on this. Mr. Badowski, stay with me, Dr. Zebrowski. Mr. Badowski, your take, first of all, and the doctor's comments, and also I want to expand a little bit on why you think that there was such inaction by NORAD that day.
Well, point number one, as far as the idea that the Israelis had anything to do with it, I'm laughing. That is the most ridiculous, preposterous, paranoid, pathetic, ridiculous, and false suggestion that I ever heard in my life.
Why is it ridiculous in your perspective,
sir? There's just no truth to that at all. Because there's not a shred of evidence for it. In fact, there are a lot of people that had more interest in it happening than the Israelis, if you want to get paranoid about it. But no, that kind of anti-Israel, whatever you think of Netanyahu, and I'm not a big supporter of his, whatever you think of Israeli policy, it is just ridiculous to throw that kind of all-purpose nonsense. You know, just, I mean, it's just not even serious. There is not one piece of evidence. Now, on the NORAD issue, I'll tell you one thing. When I worked for Democratic leaders in Congress, I got highly classified secret briefings that I cannot obviously discuss right now. But one thing I will tell you, and anybody that's had these briefings will tell you I'm right, these things almost never go according to plan. There are screw-ups that would scare the heck out of everybody in our audience, especially during the nuclear age of the Soviet Union and the United States in the Cold War. These mistakes, these problems happen literally every day. And it's unfortunate that it does. We're lucky we didn't stumble and bumble into a nuclear war because of some of those mistakes. But there were times when we were told there may be a nuclear war and the weapons may be on the way, and they were wrong. So it is not strange, because they can't be discussed publicly by anybody. Most people don't know about it, but trust me for now. There is all kinds of technical and human errors and idiosyncrasies. So the fact that NORAD may have been slow on this occasion or that is perfectly believable, not very strange. There have been a lot worse things that I've seen, but
sir,
I want to emphasize
very strange,
again,
not
this notion
one airplane,
of running around and saying
sir,
that the Israelis
not very strange were, that a country like the United States could not protect itself, not one plane, two planes, three planes. Not very strange that NORAD could not intercept any of these planes. Not very strange when NORAD had practiced this over and over again, similar scenarios, at least 67 times.
I'll go even further. The President George W. Bush, the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief of the military, was told by the CIA in August that there was a grave danger of planes flying into buildings in the United States sometime soon, and he didn't do a thing. He laughed at the CIA officers who gave that information. He was totally wrong. It was an act of incompetence. It was an act of blundering that was 10 times, 100 times worse. This is all public information, by the way. This is no secret. So things happen more than they should. that are these kinds of mistakes.
Okay.
And no question about that.
All right, but Dr. Zebrowski, let me get
again,
Dr. Zebrowski back in on this. Stay with me.
Theory.
Mr. Budowski, stay with me. Dr. Zebrowski, you pointed the finger, one, at the Israelis. I want to look inside of the country. You also talked about the neocons. Are you telling me that these Americans basically are traitors to their own country, basically sold out their country that day with almost 3,000 people being killed within the United States to do what? How do they benefit?
To do two things. One is to stimulate an enormous anti-Islam sentiment within the U.S., which they have done very successfully. And the second is get the United States militarily involved in wars in the Middle East. It's not only the immediate reaction to Afghanistan or what happened immediately after it. Dr. Zelnicko, who happened to be the staff director of the 9/11 Commission, said a year after 9/11 in a taped speech at the University of Virginia that the reason he was arguing for the United States to invade Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. It had to do with the security of Israel. He has gone on to high positions. I have no doubt that the neocons are loyal to their country. It's just that their primary allegiance is to Israel. I had a long, I should tell you, by the way, that my paternal grandmother is Jewish. So I've had people yell anti-Semite at me, and I remind them that that would probably have to be self-hating Jew. So there's a whole range of invectives out here. And I've never thought that invective was a terribly effective way of responding to anything. But I think when we take a look at this, at what has happened, and merely dismissing the failure of not only NORAD, but the US Air Force outside of NORAD, the US Navy, the US Marine Corps, all of which had aircraft across the entire East Coast, easily capable of getting to intercepting any of these planes.
Stay with me because we're running out of time. Mr. Budowski, let me get Mr. Budowski back in here. I'm so sorry. Mr. Budowski, as Dr. Zebrowski had started off, he says, in looking at any crime, you look at who benefits. And I want to look at the other side of that. Who has lost the most since this situation happened? Many would say that it has been the Muslims around the world that actually have paid the heaviest price for the 9/11 attacks. Your take?
Well, it would take an hour to list the people who lost. The Muslims lost, the Americans lost, the Christians lost, the people, the refugees lost. I want to make this fundamental point since time is short. That there were obviously intelligence screw-ups, mistakes, and blunders that were epic and monumental before 9/11. We had that kind of a debate here. We haven't even scratched the surface. There's no dispute that the whole thing was a major intelligence failure prior to 9/11. So was the Iraq War. I opposed the Iraq War when President George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and others wanted to push it. I was against it from the beginning, and I knew about it a lot earlier than most people in the U.S. So that was a horrible, terrible mistake after 9/11. There is no doubt that the neocons and the people who did the Committee for the New American Century and Vice President Cheney and others, there's no question they wrongfully and outrageously exploited 9/11 to start an Iraq war that
okay,
was a terrible
okay,
mistake.
Okay, I'm just about out of time.
I'm so sorry.
But Dr. Zebrowski, now, with what our other guest has just said, he said that Cheney and others actually exploit the situation. Who's going to pay the price? Because what we're looking at since 9/11, millions of people have been displaced. And as our guest has talked about many times during this half hour, talking about the migrants now that are displaced, and we see just total disheaval in the Middle East, all going back to what the U.S. did after 9/11. Are we going to see the actual perpetrators ever pay?
I doubt that, but in terms of who's going to ultimately pay, it's going to be the United States, because the extreme Islamophobia that's been developing in this country and the wars that we have waged illegally and are continuing to wage have created an enormous reservoir of active hatred out there in the world for the United States. In many cases among people who did not feel it before the series of wars started. 15 years ago was not that.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Hopefully, another time we can look a little bit more into this issue, but we are flat out of time. I appreciate both of you for being with us. Out of Jackson, Mississippi, Dr. Alan Sobrowski, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, and out of Washington, D.C., Mr. Brent Badowski, from a colonist with The Hill. And thank you, viewers, for being with us in another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi signing out right here from Tehran. Thank you and goodbye.